Hey, welcome back to CMDA Matters, the weekly podcast of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. I'm your host, Dr. Mike Chupp. You know, our mission at CMDA is to educate, encourage, and equip you as a Christian healthcare professional to glorify God. And we believe that Christian healthcare professionals do that best by following Christ, by serving with excellence and compassion, by caring for all people, and by advancing biblical principles of healthcare within the church and throughout our world. Our vision is Christian healthcare professionals bringing the hope and healing of Christ to the world. Today, my guest on CMDA Matters is Dr. Omari Hodge, and he'll be talking about the newest advisory group to our Board of Trustees, a committee that was commissioned about 6 or 7 months ago to help us grapple with the problem of racial reconciliation, equality, and diversity. Because of the critical nature of this topic at this time, I decided to make this a two-part interview. Dr. Hodge is a board-certified family physician who did his training at Self Regional Hospital in South Carolina. He earned his medical degree at Morehouse School of Medicine after earning a Bachelor of Science in Biology from the University of West Georgia. He currently practices and teaches students and family medicine residents in the Wellstar Outpatient Medical System in Marietta, Georgia. He's married to Kiera, and they have 4 children. I believe that you will hear Omari's heart and his desire to see the body of Christ find unity in diversity, because each member, no matter their ethnicity, belongs to all of the other members. I welcome you now to listen in on part one of my conversation with Dr. Hodge, with a focus on better understanding of this hot topic of critical race theory and whether it has any place in influencing our approach to pursuing racial reconciliation. Well, it is a lot of fun for me to introduce to the program today a good friend of mine who just happens to be on our board of trustees, Dr. Omari Hodge, who is one incredibly busy as a beaver kind of doctor, family man, loves to do missions, been multiple countries. And just before I give you a chance to greet our listeners, Omari, the first time that I met you was at a team leader training here in Bristol in our assembly hall. As everybody, the team leaders, including you, were introducing yourselves. And I watched the whole crowd as you got up and introduced yourself, and smiles broke across every single face in the room. And I thought, And then as you spoke so charismatically to the group, I could understand why. And then later, I got to speak down in Atlanta for your Atlanta chapter. And you're the man who wrapped it up and did the fundraising, and man, did people respond to Dr. Omari Hodge. So welcome to CMDA Matters today.
Thanks, man. I can't think of any place I'd rather be, especially in a setting like this where we get to just talk and people listen and maybe they can glean from it something that's useful. I really appreciate you having me again, even after the first time. I don't know how you allowed that to happen, but.
Well, Omari's referring to a year ago for Black History Month. Bill Reichert joined me, and we talked to Omari about a story from back in Atlanta, from a letter that went to a medical school and a rejection of a Black applicant because they just couldn't accept him at that time. Very good discussion. And here we are now a year later, and so many things have happened that we would have never imagined, Omari, since last February.
That's right.
Since that time, our president, Dr. Gloria Halverson, and I talked last summer, not long after the end of May, early June events that took place after the George Floyd death and all of the events that followed, and formed what started off as the Red Committee, but then we added an R, and and whether it's race and reconciliation or racial reconciliation, equality and diversity committee, of which you have become the chair since last summer. So tell us a little bit about this committee that's been functional since last fall that you were asked to chair. Talk about its membership a little bit to us and its task at this time in our country to help our CMDA members and other Christians in healthcare to bring glory to God in the arena of relationships between our members, their colleagues, patients, staff, staff, families maybe, who come from diverse ethnic backgrounds?
This kind of happened organically. I mean, I think this started back maybe 2.5 years ago, where CMDA actually felt that it was prudent to put together a statement on racism. So a committee was formed, a subcommittee, I should say, tasked with gathering individuals from various locations, various mindsets to come together under the umbrella of Christ within CMDA and draft a statement that could really speak to CMDA's heart about racism and what our take is on race and race relations. And from those conversations, as you can imagine, it was kind of a think tank. Other ideas began to spurn. And one of the ideas that came out was that maybe there needs to be a committee that is constantly around that could give some ideas and suggestions and advice to the board and the president at large about these issues that are constantly coming to the forefront within the United States, specifically as it pertains to racism, reconciliation, equality, and diversity. And so Gloria, as you know, who's our active president of CMDA right now, thought that that was a fantastic idea and actually put in place some of the first members of that committee and asked me to be the chair, which I happily accepted because this is something that I feel passionate about and have kind of lived my life in terms of championing this cause. And so we've been extremely busy since we've come together. And I guess I should name a few of the members. Now, I hope I do not do the disgrace of leaving anyone out, but I think I'll be okay because we're still pretty small.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, there's Nicole Hayes, who you know, who's in D.C. and has been very influential. She's not a physician. She has a master's in public administration. And I tell you what, she has been a lightning rod in terms of keeping us in the know and making sure that we're continuing to grow and stay focused. There's Brenda Abraham, who is a member of the board as well. And she was also a member of that original task force, if you will, that put together that statement on race.
In 2018, yes.
That's right. That's right. There was George Gonzalez, who was actually a previous president within CMDA. And he's actually on the West Coast. And he's a family medicine physician who has been passionate about race relations and making sure that there's a biblical mindset as we approach reconciliation. Staying on that same coast, we have Warren Yamashita. Forgive me, Warren, if I did not pronounce it right. I'm trying. Who is of Japanese American ancestry. And he is a Stanford addiction fellow who is currently finishing up his time out there, but has been very passionate, particularly as it pertains to addiction medicine and its role in racism and things of that nature. And I tell you what, his background is in philosophy, and it shows when he puts his pen to paper. We really appreciate him. Andrea Johnson, who is an OBGYN out of Texas, has been wonderful as well. She's actually a member of WPC. She's everywhere. She's kind of like our all-star. You put her in any position and she can flourish. It doesn't matter. But she has such a heart for this committee and has brought her invaluable talents to us. There's Joy Walton, who is from Ohio, MedPeds, who was our newest addition. And man, has she been exciting. She brings such an energy, as well as a little known secret. She is our grammatical guru in charge. Anything we put together after we're done, we kind of say, hey, Joy, take a look at this and make sure every I is dotted, T crossed, things of that nature.
Every committee needs one of those Joy Waltons.
Oh my gosh. If you don't have that, then yeah, you're in trouble. Finally, Charles Jayoba, who is a GI. And Charles and I actually go back to med school. I first met Charles in med school and we did mission work together. And we kind of lost touch a little bit and we reconnected and we had one conversation and I knew we had to have him. Just an amazing man of God who loves this topic, but approaches it from a biblical mindset, which is right in line with the way we feel. He's actually a GI who, another interesting fact, he lives in Canada, but works in the States. So he's right there on that line coming back and forth. So just a wonderful breadth of diversity and opportunity within this committee.
Well, you mentioned Nicole Hayes, and we ask from CMDA National Office, we have a quarterly journal, and we ask you to write an article for that in the summer last year. And the article had the title, Racism in Healthcare, No One is Immune. Now, that word immunity, we're writing, obviously, the journal goes out to healthcare professionals, and we're in the midst of a pandemic. And so certainly immunity is on a lot of people's minds. I frankly was a little bit surprised at some interpretations of what that title meant in the subsequent article. And it was about that time, we had a phone call yesterday talking about some issues, and you admitted, like me, that you'd never heard of this phrase or term, concept of critical race theory. And yet it now seems, especially when you all these podcasts that I'm sure you listen to and I listen to, it's talked about almost incessantly these days. And so some of our readers thought that maybe there was some elements of critical race theory, maybe that some foundational elements of that within the article that you and Nicole wrote. Could you start by giving our listeners a basic understanding of, as you see it, Omari, of critical race theory and how that critique of the article maybe or maybe not really does not apply?
Let me start out actually by speaking to the article and then talk about the theory itself. You know, even at the time of writing that article, I had heard about CRT and did some preliminary investigations into it, but it had not colored my school of thought or influenced my writings at all. As a matter of fact, when I heard people mentioning it and some of the comments that we got in response to the article, I was just floored. I was like, well, okay, this is something else I really need to go figure out, because if people are describing my intentions, my writing intentions to this theory, then I need to know some more detail about this theory. And I'm still not an expert, as you can know. There's an inner space that exists within that in and of itself. But I can wholeheartedly say nothing in that article was written from that mindset. As a matter of fact, if you want to know what influences me, especially when it comes to race relations and reconciliation and culture and its and racism as we see it in medicine, I largely have two sources that I willingly, freely open. One is the Bible. That's my primary source. And my second one, which is no surprise either, is I am an ardent listener of all of MLK's former speeches. I mean, I love me some MLK. Mm-hmm. And so there are countless other people who have influenced my life and who still do. But those are probably the biggest influencers that I can think of that started me on my way. But yeah, let's get back to critical race theory, because myself and the committee, we have done a lot of work really trying to grapple with this issue and get an understanding of what it is and make sure that we understand where people are coming from when they talk about it, both from either side, because as you can know, it's a very polarized issue. So we wanted to make sure that we understood it from everybody's eyes. And so we've put together a couple of articles, and let me just give you a little snippet of some of that information relating to CRT. We know that it actually comes from a bigger concept called critical theories, which actually critical theories started back in the 30s by philosophers at Germany's Frankfurt School. And people who I have no idea, but have very strong German names. And so yes, that was both. It was a kind of an overarching theme, if you want. But then back in the 70s, under Derrick Bell and Alan Freeman, these were lawyers. It became kind of it took a different shape. It became critical legal studies. And from that, critical legal studies then gave birth to critical race theory. And when we're talking about critical race theory, the definition, and this is, I don't want to say funny, but this is very true. How you define it really depends upon who you're asking. So for example, Kimberly Crenshaw, who's a prominent CRT advocate and one of the founding theorists, she defines it as this: critical race theory is a practice. It's an approach to grappling with a history of white supremacy that rejects the belief that what's in the past is in the past, and that the laws and systems that grow from that past are detached from it. Now, that's one end of the spectrum. Listen to this other end of the spectrum. Same definition, but just a different end of the spectrum. This is Eleanor Kranz. She wrote an op-ed about how leftist critical race theory poisons our discussions of racism. And what she writes is, critical race theory is presented as the singular lens through which one ought to see the world. Race is a social construct enforced by those in power, white men, and predetermines someone else's roles and ability in society. So even in those two definitions, and I know that was a lot in a little bit of time, mm-hmm. you see, the vantage point that you're standing from really influences how you approach critical race theory.
Language matters, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely it does. Oh, absolutely it does. From our standpoint, going forward within those definitions, we began to explore more, and we found at least four themes within critical race theory. One, having this sort of social binary, which is having a relationship between oppressor and oppressed groups. I would kind of use modern day language, a filter, a different filter that the oppressed people have to view life. Redefining oppression from just, you know, extreme examples of slavery to certain things like as simple as microaggressions or certain slights that you might have even in the office or the workplace or wherever. Understanding through the lived experience of others, you know, there's a hot book out right now that many people don't want to talk about because it can really raise eyes. White Fragility comes to mind. And in that book, kind of talk about these issues presented in terms of how, unless you've really lived through those experiences, you really have a hard time seeing those type of things. And lastly, social justice, like being really aggressive or enthusiastic about pursuing change anywhere and everywhere that you can, seeing it as your duty, especially if you're in the majority culture, to make those things happen. And so with that being said, there's only one theory that we as the Red Team subscribe to, and that is the kingdom theory. And that is, we believe that the Bible is the only worldview that, through a balanced approach, can really address racism, reconciliation, equality issues, and diversity. Now, having said that, there are many tools that certain people will use to do that. So for one of the people who come to my mind is Jamar Tisby, the author of Color of Compromise. You know, a lot of people have said that he is now advocating the use of critical race theory. And I've listened to one of his podcasts recently. If you ask him, he says he actually doesn't. Some of the things that he believes kind of coincide with that, but he doesn't necessarily advocate it. And I think our committee is kind of in a similar spot, meaning that we can see things within the theory itself that can be useful to help illuminate, understand the situations that we are dealing with, but we would never wholly subscribe to critical race theory. Matter of fact, I know I'm long-winded, but let me give this last little illustration. I see it as what's written in 2 Timothy 3 and 5, where it has a form of godliness, but denies the full power therein. And I added full in there for emphasis. I can see little parts of critical race theory that do have a godly component from the standpoint of they allow us to look at injustice and maybe see things that you couldn't see before. Mm-hmm. Same time, I don't think anywhere in critical race theory, it gives you the power to overcome or the power to be balanced in your approach with that, or the power to change lives and change hearts that the biblical concept does. And that's really our standpoint from CRT point of view.
Well, you shared with me not a Zen diagram, but a Venn diagram, which our listeners, even if they don't know it by that, have seen many of these, I'm sure, in their careers and education, which, you know, I've really been thinking a lot about. And I think that we will post this certainly on the web for those who listen to the program on the web, sure, or those who are listening on their phones or whatever their devices. They can go to the web. And I want us to put this there because to me, it's so helpful. Our good friend who's been working with us down at the Hendricks Center at the Dallas Theological Seminary, Daryl Bach, in his new book, Cultural Intelligence, talks about parsing out a form of godliness, parsing out elements of truth in what someone that we would maybe think about internally as on the other side, whatever the issue
That's
is,
right.
on the other
That's
side.
Right.
And parsing
That's
out,
right.
I mean, the Apostle Paul did this certainly with the Athenians. And look at what is true, what can I identify with and be able to build a bridge by saying, and there are three things in your Venn diagram that you point out, that the rejection of racism and structural racial bias in institutions, so that in a kingdom worldview, or as I suggested to you, maybe instead of CRT, we should think about KRT.
Right.
Kingdom racial truth. And so let's reject CRT, and the Red Committee has espousing KRT. It's about the kingdom truth from Scripture. So rejection of racism and structural racial bias in institutions. Number two is about action-oriented justice. I was thinking this morning, Omari, Isaiah 1:17, learn to do right, seek justice, encourage the oppressed, defend the cause of the fatherless, plead the case of the widow. That is action-oriented justice. In fact, Isaiah said, seek justice. And then the last element where we have this overlap in these two circles between the CRT worldview and kingdom worldview is, you have written, caring for the marginalized, from Matthew 25, verse 40. I can't believe that any of our listeners, that there's a CMDA member who would refute that that was right at the heart of Christ's teaching.
Yeah.
Thank you for giving us this visual that I think is going to be very helpful. I know that you're going to share this in various activities, teachings. Now, what is your vision as the board works together with the Red Committee and Dr. Halverson, and you work with us in the national ministry? What do you hope to accomplish? Because it's a zero-sum game, as you point out in the CRT worldview definition, but not in the kingdom. It is not a zero-sum game. So what do you as the chair and your committee is the goal, the vision, the mission?
Well, the first thing is we want to remain within our charge. You know, we've been given a, if you will, some boundaries with which to operate in. And we really respect that and want to stay within that, because otherwise we have this entity that can morph into many other things. And there are so many bad things that were born out of good ideas. And so we just want to operate within that charge. And as we do that, one of the first things that we really feel like we can do within CMDA is just make sure that both within our committee and within the organization, that we kind of represent what we saw in Revelation 7:7-9. You know, every tribe, every tongue represented under the banner of Christianity. We want to make sure that we don't have blind spots that are allowing our organization, or on a smaller level, our committee, to not operate in the fullness of God, because we believe that God is exemplified through every race and culture. And so as the future becomes the present, and whether you're talking about 2 years or 10 years, we're really kind of allowing ourselves to have a little bit of permissive speculation, if you will, meaning that we know that we have recently started, and I kind of shared a diagram with you not too long ago where we're kind of in this phase called storming, where we have all these different people who are getting our ideas together and trying to figure out what's the best way to help CMDA, what's the best way to help our membership, what's the best way to help our nation. And so we have so many ideas, we feel like electrons bouncing off of each other, and then something will jump off, and all of our attention gets focused on that. And so we all agree, okay, right now, let's go focus on that. When that's done, we get back to bouncing around. Okay, what's the next direction? What's the next direction? And I'm okay with that right now, because I think that is very important for us to really ensure that whatever direction would we take for the future, we've allowed the Spirit of God to breathe into us what that is, as opposed to deciding things on our own. You know, what does it say in the Bible? Many are the plans of a man's heart, but the Lord's purpose prevails. And there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. We don't want that to be our end. We think this organization is critical and crucial, and we feel like what we add to it is wonderful. And so, you know, immediately we have a list of things that we want to have come into fruition within CMDA that I won't go into here, because it's a long list of things and you guys will see them as it rolls out. But 5-10 years from now, our hope is that this committee has created a CMDA that is, one, representative of the American demographic, and two, one that shows what the Bible talks about is walking in a spirit of unity in Psalms 133. How beautiful it is when brethren dwell together in unity. And at the end of that verse, you see it says, but there the Lord commanded his blessing. Mm. I believe there's a blessing for CMDA that the Lord wants to command, but it's going to take the multi-membered body of Christ to really receive it in its fullness.
Well, I'm not sure how you fit it in, Omari, but you and your team have been out talking and prompting discussions in various venues. Talk about a couple of those opportunities that you've had.
Oh, they've been wonderful. I mean, we started with immediately right after the George Floyd death, we had an In His Image webinar where there were at least 200 people on the phone call, sometimes up to 220, I think. That was a really exciting time where we really got to, one, share who we are and mourn, weep with those who meet, mourn with those who mourn, add hope and add vision for those who were kind of wondering, what do we do here? So that was a wonderful experience. And from that, we have spoken at numerous institutions. I mean, from Johns Hopkins in Maryland to Minneapolis. I mean, we've spoken a few weeks ago. We had a conversation with Nicole Hayes and Charles Gioba that was really well received. And then a few weeks, I think February 20th, we're going to be speaking in Western New York. The invitations are just continue to come, and we're excited about it, because one of the things we've recognized is from our committee is one of the biggest things that we can give to our members and to everyone else is an opportunity to have civil discourse, a safe place where you can unpack whatever idea you may be having about preconceptions, maybe prejudices, struggles, whatever it is. You can unpack that in our environment, and we'll walk through it together through a biblical mindset. Nobody on our committee ever comes with a mindset of we want to pay back for wrongs that have been done, or we want to shame. All of us are broken individuals. And if the truth be told, all of us have suffered. Just like the article says, no one is immune. I think one of the reasons that we are all in this committee is because we all know the personal effects of racism, not just on us, but inside of us. And so we can really connect with people who are suffering.
So, Omari, what you just said made me think of a quote that I've heard a number of times, and that is, you know, in CRT, there's the idea that the problem is with the system, and we've got to fix the system. And certainly, I don't think that in a kingdom worldview that we would say, and I've heard even Al Mohler talk about it frequently, that there are systemic issues of racism and structural racism. But it leaves out the personal responsibility for the problem of racism, and that no one truly is immune, just like no one's immune to lust, no one's immune to greed, no one is immune to racism. And Alexander Solzhenitsyn, his famous quote is, "The dividing line between good and evil cuts right through every human heart." I've had to examine my own, as David says in the Psalm, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me, including the hint of racism, and lead me on the path of everlasting life." And so I'm so grateful. Romans 3:23 is right here in your document under the kingdom worldview. All are guilty. All are sinful. And that personal transformation in Christ is so critical for there to be healing.
That's right.
You know, Omari, this week we've run out of time, but I want to tell our listeners that this is such good stuff. And we have another, just a totally different topic to talk about that we're going to get to next week, the topic of health inequities and healthcare disparities based upon race and ethnicity. So thank you for joining me today, Dr. Hodge, and I look forward to talking to you next week.
All right, brother. Thank you, man.
Well, as Dr. Hodge gracefully pointed out, the only thing that gives us any power at all to overcome racism is the love of Christ that transforms the human heart. No theory like critical race theory can do that. Our Board of Trustees recently approved a new statement on racial justice in healthcare, drafted by Dr. Omari's committee. We call it the Racial Reconciliation, Equality, and Diversity Committee. You can find that statement as well as the diagram that I referred to during the interview that compares and contrasts critical race theory with that of Kingdom of God racial truth direct from God's Word. And you can find that cmda.org/racism. If you missed our recent webinar entitled Engaging with the Beginning of Human Life, that was presented in conjunction with Dallas Theological Seminary. We collaborated with them. You can still watch it on the CMDA Learning Center for CME credit. We have a lot of great resources on the CMDA Learning Center, and there are always new talks being added. So I want to encourage you, make the CMDA Learning Center your trusted source of higher learning, especially when it comes to faith integration into healthcare. Just go to cmda.org/learningcenter. Another upcoming event is entitled Walking Through COVID-19 with Jesus. It is a half-day virtual event that our Women Physicians in Christ Commission will be hosting live on February 20th. So I invite you to register on our website today, especially if you are a woman physician or dentist or other healthcare professional who would appreciate a small or maybe even a big boost of encouragement as you continue to manage patients as well as your own family in the midst of this pandemic healthcare environment. I'm very excited about a part two webinar that is occurring on February 27th on a national basis that we are calling Clinical Perspectives on the Transgender Movement. Now, this is part two, And part one was a theological focus and emphasis by Reverend Andrew Walker. And this part two of Healthcare Professionals, the Church, and the Transgender Movement will be presented by Dr. Paul Ruse, who's Associate Professor of Pediatrics, Endocrinology, and Diabetes at Washington University in St. Louis. After the first part of this series that was done a couple of months ago, we received so much great feedback from viewers. So I'm going to encourage you, you don't want to miss this part two, Clinical Perspectives on the Transgender Movement. You can find out more information and register online, again, cmda.org/events, which is our main conference webpage. Now, speaking of checking out CMDA conference information, our 2021 CMDA National Convention is going virtual. I mentioned that last week, and I'll be reminding you in coming weeks. I want to invite you to join us for fellowship, encouragement, and spiritual renewal at this CMDA Virtual National Convention, April 29th through May 1st. We have chosen the theme this year, you'll understand, Courage Through the Crisis, Stories from the Front Lines. This event, our annual conference, will include plenary session speakers, Reverend Albert Moeller, president of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, as well as best-selling author Philip Yancey. Dr. Alveda C. King, niece of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., will be joining us, as well as author and pastor Bert Jones, who will be our Bible teacher. We will have our usual selection of breakout sessions in various tracks, and you'll have the opportunity to fellowship with like-minded healthcare professionals. You can find out more information today, register at a reduced cost that's in keeping with a virtual experience at cmda.org/events, or you'll find the links to register in our show notes today. I want to remind you that our CMDA Go app will be available to all CMDA members in the App Store, wherever you get your apps downloaded, in just a few days, February 15th. Our staff are working hard to make sure that there is a lot of great content ready for you, so be sure you check that out. It's called the CMDA Go app. Well, that's it for today. Make sure you tune in again next week for the second part of my conversation with Dr. Omari Hodge. I think you'll remember that Paul told the Corinthian church that we as Christ followers are appointed to be ambassadors of reconciliation with a very clear message. Hey, world. Hey, patients and family members, medical and dental colleagues of all ethnicities, be reconciled to God, Paul tells us, is our message. We know that reconciliation matters to our Father in heaven so much. And so it must matter to you, dear healthcare professional, and it must matter to me. And it matters to CMDA, and CMDA matters. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next Thursday, God willing, and may the Lord keep on changing hearts in our healthcare sphere of influence, starting with our own.
This podcast has been a production of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. CMDA is a nonpartisan organization that does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members, and are not intended to imply endorsement of any political party or candidate.